Hey everybody, Easy Eats gives us a deep dive into the Luna and UST crash and also discusses the current state of the NFT market and whether projects like Other Side Land are a buy. At the end, we also get some live technical analysis of the Alien Friends pump with NFT nerds by Easy. As usual, this content is sponsored by FTX. Sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on the FTX mobile app. Cheapest place to buy crypto, gasless transactions on NFTs. Hope you enjoy the show. In this video, we are going to discuss Luna's heinous dump to zero or near zero, as well as bear market strategies, because it seems like we're in one right now. As usual, nothing in this video is financial advice. The NFT market is incredibly risky, so always do your own research. And as always, if you enjoy this content, hit the like button, smash the subscribe button, subscribe to the podcast, all of the above. Help us out. Check out our NFT. You already know. Easy. What's going on?
Living, man. The market's underwater. I'm not somehow, some way we're staying dry, but it's a ton of fun. It's never a dull moment, even when it's going south at an alarming rate.
Yeah. Well, one thing went south at a ridiculous rate, and that is the Terra Luna cryptocurrency. So you've been following this closely. You have experience trading crypto, trading traditional markets. And I know that there was a lot of activity on your plate as this was going down. Can you give, you know, give me an explanation, like I don't know anything, about what happened with Luna, what happened with UST, what the hell is going on there?
This chart is so bad too. Like, this looks like this thing just straight rugged. And like, that's not fully the case. So The interesting thing with like stable coins and where you have to start, like what is a stable coin? It's supposed to be pegged to the US dollar 1-to-1. Yep. And the reserves are supposed to have one US dollar. So that makes total
it's
sense.
It's supposed like, to be just total, totally simple. It's
one supposed equals to be one. Basic math. One equals
it's
one.
It's a blockchain version of a dollar is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Instead of being the traditional, you know, piping of the financial system, so to speak, right? The legacy financial system, that piping, instead the piping is blockchain piping to make it a lot more convenient so that I can send it to somebody in Australia right now and it gets to them in 10 seconds, fully settled, right? But it's supposed to be back to 1-to-1. Some of the biggest names, biggest name stable coins would be USDC, GUSD, which is Gemini, and then USDT Tether, which a lot of people have question marks about, not dissimilarly to Luna, although I'm not going to put them totally in the same, or not Luna, but UST.
Yeah, a little same, but different, I think. Like USDT with Tether, I'm going to not do any of the abbreviations here because every one of them's got USD. It's confusing.
Right,
but like
right.
Tether.
Okay.
Yeah, is, Tether. They just haven't fully exposed their books. So a lot of people don't believe that there's a one-to-one backing. They say there is speculation that they have crypto on the balance sheet that's giving them some return. That's where the uncertainty comes. The USD Terra, which was the dollar stablecoin for the Luna blockchain, straight up was like, yeah, we're backed by Bitcoin. Like, this is a stablecoin that if you sell a UST, we're going to print more Luna, giving us a stable algorithm for Luna price going up as we sell it. As you sell UST, that'll fluctuate Luna, giving us runway for our own reserves to keep this pegged to a dollar. Basically, the terrible situation that could happen is Bitcoin goes down, they're forced to liquidate at a loss and no longer can keep a peg on the stable coin that they were also promising a 20% yield on. So that's like that was the crazy thing that got a lot of traction was with Terra's stablecoin, they were supposed to keep it pegged to a dollar. You were also able to stake it for a lockup period, which basically removed that circulation, which kept it high, and in turn pumped the Luna price because Luna was the underlying asset. And if you can't sell Terra, Luna's circulation was limited because they're not printing more. So it was this weird, complex kind of circle where as you sell the stable coin, more Luna gets printed. If you don't sell the stable coin, Luna price go up. And we saw during that first lockup with their 20% APY, which let's be honest, 20% guaranteed for life is absurd. Like no one can maintain that. In DeFi, we've seen it with Time. We've seen it with DeFi Kingdoms. We've seen it now with a 20% anchor APY. 20% is not realistic. You can't guarantee a 20% gain. Everyone would just put their money there. Obviously, a lot of people did.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So one part that sticks out is like, you can't call these algorithmic stable coins stable coins. You just can't, because stable coin is the definition, has the definition, I should say, that you provided earlier. So in other words, one-to-one backed by actual US dollars. Mm-hmm. You can't back, it's just not a stable coin. It's something else. What is a full-blown risk on asset. I mean, there's risk with stable coins because they're not FDIC insured, or at least when you lend them, they aren't. For example, with Geminis, I actually do believe it's quote unquote FDIC insured, or it's insured, probably not FDIC, but insured in some capacity.
Private insurance. Yeah.
Private insurance to hold it. Like if you just have it in your Gemini account holding it, then it's insured, right? Mm-hmm. And it's backed one-to-one by US dollars. If you lend it to Gemini for 7% yield, all bets are off. You're taking a risk when you do that. This algorithmically backed stablecoin. Look, I'm a Bitcoiner. I don't want a quote unquote stablecoin backed by Bitcoin. That's not a stablecoin anymore.
You also expect the price of Bitcoin to go up. So on top of that, even as a Bitcoin maxi, a stablecoin should not be backed to an asset going up. It should be backed to a fixed asset that trades in a fixed value. Yeah. Like that was the craziest part too. And it's like, I'm reading through these. I got lit up on Luna, by the way. Like I put.
You had a lot of money in Luna?
I still have it staked. I can't unstake it for 2 more days.
Oh,
so like that's literally zero. And I know it was, wow. it was basically money I moved from DFK anyway. So like DeFi Kingdoms, I have a DeFi bag that I'm comfortable taking much bigger risk. And my hope was that it would last 30 days. Like I was like, okay, I'll just unstake it in 30 days and get the hell out. Try to just ride a quick Ponzi.
And it didn't.
Absolutely not. I just got lit on fire. Like everyone's like, oh, we're going to the moon. No, man. Luna went straight down to the ocean, still sinking. So yeah, I mean, I know I've done decent shorting it. I posted in the Nifty Discord 3 days before the DPEG. Somebody hit me up that I trust a lot in the space and was like, hey, I would move money out of this. He knew I was invested. Was like, reach out to your people who you also have invested in it. And I'd probably see what you could do to get any money out of that. So like the unstake that I had yielded, I was selling the Luna immediately off that. Around like $60 to $70, and then we saw the peg drop, and I was like, "Oh shit!" Like we've seen Tether shift a couple cents, which isn't uncommon. Inflation hits, etc. Some people get spooked. When Terra dropped down to 0.7, I was like, "Oh, it's game over. Like this has to go to zero. Either this goes to zero or Luna goes to zero." And the thing was, my book only let me short Luna, so I couldn't even short Terra the UST, which ended up being a better play because as more sell pressure came onto that stable coin, they had to keep printing Luna, which is what the algo was defined to do. So now Luna's not just getting sold. There's also more coming into the supply. So you're diluting supply and it's dropping a ton. So I'm sitting there like, oh, this has to go to zero. So at like $16, I'm shorting it. I was shorting it from 20 to 16. I hate leaving positions open overnight, especially on like situations like this where a tweet can pump it. Somebody can end
go
up
to
bailing
bed
them out.
And get liquidated.
Yeah, dude. And like in 2017, everyone talks about 2017. I got liquidated for like six figures and change, like completely zeroed me out. Like and that's why I'm way more comfortable trading in these situations now and talking about it, because like I've paid my market fees. Like I've lost it all and came back in cycles that are similar. So it's like margin trading, leverage trading, first and foremost, is the riskiest thing you can possibly do, especially on crypto, where like Du Quan, the creator of Luna and UST, was tweeting like, stay strong, we're gonna make it through this. And every time he tweeted it, these things ripped. Like we saw a short squeeze up to $7 from a dollar, a short squeeze up to $4.
So everyone gets liquidated. Every short gets liquidated in a situation like that, right?
If you did not get a short in at like $20, you were getting liquidated at some point. And you can even see the little bumps on the graph. Like there's two major kicks there, and those just short ran the hell out of people. Wow. Murdered them, slaughtered them. So like that one
right here,
12, 25 from 40. So that was the first one. And then the second one after that is right there, Duquan's first tweet that pumped it from $1 to $12. It ran every single stop and just murdered them, man. Yeah, so like that was brutal. I mean, and that was the thing, like until I thought UST would be zero or Luna would be zero, I was riding that short. And then the book actually closed me at about $4 and paid out just because they were taking margin off of the trade. Like, even books were like, we don't trust this. We know this is going to zero. And when your exchange is telling you, we might not be able to cover this from a sell side.
Good God.
There's no reason you should be buying into that coin. Like, seeing some of the posts, like, do I buy Luna here? I was like, dude, I'll send you a wallet. Just donate the money to, like, find your favorite charity. Just, like, do something, man.
Don't buy this thing.
Do not touch this. Dude, stay as far away as possible.
I mean, that's insane. I think that this is probably going to, like, be remembered as, like, just don't play around with this. You can't call it a stable coin. And I mean, like, shouldn't you just buy Bitcoin if you're going to do, like, a Bitcoin backed, like, algorithmic thing? Like, there's just too much risk.
Yeah, that was the really interesting thing, was, like, I had the same mentality. I was like, why wouldn't you buy BTC here instead? Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, I am curious too, and I just saw Laguna's comment. Like, Luna is a blockchain with a lot of other functionality on it. So, like, my big concern now is that there's just not going to be money, funds, grants to support that ecosystem much longer. Like, this took a fall from grace here, dropping from 120 to zero in 48 hours. It's tough to bounce back from that. Trust in the crypto space is, like, we talk about it all the time. Like, Anon devs and teams, how the hell can you trust them? You don't want to. You don't want to buy into that project. Like, if they're doxed, it's way better. Duquan is doxed, but then yesterday it also came out that he was behind Basis Cash, which was another stable coin that was an algo stable coin that went to zero. So,
he was Anon at that time?
Yeah. And somebody saw him in the Telegram and was like, Duquan, what are you doing in here? And he's like, oh, I'm just trying to learn about successful projects. And sure enough, he was behind both. So it's just like, this stuff is so bad because now there's just nobody that wants to trust it. He's been on interviews. And some of the other things that people are just like, have some faith, I guess. The Luna blockchain got halted today. Validators just shut it off because the sell pressure was so crazy. It was bad. I'm even getting sent stuff now from the Nifty Discord about, like, go forward proposals. And, like, people are going to try, absolutely, because, like, a lot of money was lost. But I don't know how you bounce back from this. Like, this is like if they launched ETH 2.0 and it rugged everyone, and then they tried to revert it to ETH 1.0 and everyone was still okay with it. Like, it just doesn't happen like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, look, I'm biased because I'm just not a big, like, altcoin person in general. I don't necessarily see a like kind of future where a lot of these have the staying power that a lot of people think that they do. Like, the prices of some of these altcoins reflect confidence from, you know, like, investors, because I didn't buy Luna. Like, I'm not into it. I do, like, Bitcoin, Ethereum. Now I'm doing ApeCoin, right? Because of, like, conviction in Yuga Labs, but I don't like buy Chainlink. You know, the thing is, like, when I think about it, why would Solana is one that obviously is relevant, but why would I deploy capital into these other chains when I could just buy more Bitcoin? And now I've developed, sizable conviction in Ethereum too. But that's really the way that I think about it. So I personally don't understand why, you know, people would dedicate their lives to building this back up. I'm sure, like, the Luna fanboys would absolutely kill me for what I'm saying right now. Yeah, you know, the altcoin fanboys would kill me, but that's what I'm thinking about it. But no, I appreciate the full explanation of what happened with Luna. Sorry to anybody that got wrecked, but we all get wrecked. This is the crypto space. If you don't get wrecked, then you're not doing it right, apparently. And Easy just told you about a six-figure wreckage that he went through in 2017. So Easy, you know, a lot of people that only trade NFTs, a lot of people quit their jobs to become full-time NFT traders. It's really not an uncommon thing. I think that they're wondering exactly how to operate right now in this market when all NFTs are going down. You can't short NFTs. I guess you could short ApeCoin if you wanted to, but, you know, people are really looking for ways to be able to engage in the market. How are you operating right now? You know, and just disclaimer, you have more experience trading than a lot of people. You've been trading for like 7-8 years.
Around there, yeah. And I mean, like, equities, like, I say it too, like, my dad is a long-term holder who's kind of instilled it in me. Like, he's never sold a share of Disney. He's been buying since, like, the 60s. Like, used to buy on paper. Has bought Apple since the ICO. Like, he's complete opposite of me. Like, I'm a very quick trader. I like high-frequency trades, quick targets, tight stop losses, getting in and out. So for him, that kind of got me into trading 7-8 years ago, and now it's like I've started to refine a lot of it. And it's tough now because, like, there's still a lot of avenues. And even more so recently, I've been really focused on NFT trading, which is like the most volatile, I guess, aspect you could say, right? Like this is the place right now where it's massive leverage with almost instant liquidity vanishing.
Yeah.
Because like we're trading pictures that go up 5, 6, 7, 8, 9x and then also trade zero if you don't have a buyer, which is crazy. Because like right now, recently, I've been just trading some coins and ranges because I was talking on the show today too. Like I think we might be in a channel here soon, just under 30K, right around 21 for ETH and in between 40 and 50 for SOL. So for me, trading ranges like that, it's a little bit safe. I feel more comfortable doing that coming from that area. And honestly, just not really diving into NFTs a ton. There's some that I have had on my radar for months anyway, like the Bridged, a Solana collection minted today. That was a 3 SOL mint, and shout out to people who minted because 3 SOL is now less than 1 SOL was a month ago. So that's like, and it's seeing great volume, like 20 SOL sales, 35 SOL sales. And I was watching that this morning because I wanted to just see how alive the market was and see if like there really are a lot of people on the sidelines. And it seems pretty clear buyers are still present, but a lot of people are cautious, which is kind of the same mentality I'm having. I'm kind of just waiting. Like at this point, I don't feel like chasing. I am holding a few NFTs, but I'm mostly liquid, either starting to average down into ETH. I did start buying SOL yesterday around 44. We've seen it get up and over that and now back down. I don't have much Bitcoin exposure. I just personally, I guess, you know, but it's like, I think now we still have more downside for sure, just because of the macro conditions. Rates just started hiking. We're still going to see some supply chain issues, which affects everything. All that fun stuff, you know? So now it's like, if I start averaging here, I'm not going to time the bottom. I've never been great at timing the bottom, but at least I can scrape something from it. So if you do have cash, I don't think dollar cost averaging at any point, anytime, anywhere is ever a bad decision, which is kind of what I like to do here. And now it's also like, this is the time where you should be comfortable researching. We were so active trading every single day, all day from sunup to sundown, that like when we say do your own research, that's exactly what I'm doing now. Like trying to talk to more teams. Everybody has time now with the market dying. Trying to just have conversations and understand like what is the future of your project? What do you plan to do with it? When is it minting? Talking to existing teams and just learning more. Like there's never a bad time to learn, especially in a bear.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess, are you buying ApeCoin?
No, I'm not buying ApeCoin. For me personally, I don't see a utility for it right now. Like it, to me, that's just another altcoin. You know what I mean? Like that's buying Ape right now would be like buying FTM, I guess, which is like there are some NFTs on it, but it's still kind of small, I guess. I don't know. Like we don't have a value add for it. Like it was awesome to see them mint land in ApeCoin. That was huge. And I'm excited to see what Yuga does with this massive reserve of Ape. But my concern is like they could either give this elsewhere or like use it as leverage for buy-in and equity. I don't know. For me, I'm just passing on it. I know it's like $5. If it can hold five, I am tempted to pick up a couple hundred and just sit on it for a little bit to see what happens. I need Bored Ape exposure. I really want the dogs to trade under five. I want land to trade under one. Those are like my targets, and they're really aggressive downside targets. Oh, that's almost there.
Is there a number that ApeCoin can hit that would inspire you to buy some, or would it just depend on what?
That's the target. I'm dead serious. Like $3.10. Yeah, if it touches that, I'm a buyer. Like I have a buy order in for $3.10.
Okay, you have a limit order in right now.
Yeah, yeah. So like I understand the value of it longer term, but like five, I'm a big mental number guy too. Like think about it. You're aware of fives, tens, twenties, fifties. Like those are big mental numbers, and we're at a mental number range. We break that. We'll see where it can go. Yeah, exactly. Like even people saying like, I don't think it's going to go to 310. Neither do I. But if it hits 310, I'm absolutely a buyer, you know? So like that's kind of the mentality. And under five is it has to be a heavy sell, but we'll see.
So these dogs are 13 grand right now. What if they go to like 8 grand
last week? I'm a buyer at 8 grand. Like absolutely. Whether that's ETH price or total amount of ETH times current ETH value, like absolutely a buyer. Like sub 10K, this feels like stealing. And it's crazy because this is a picture of a flat image dog with a monkey hand in its mouth. But like Yuga has bags, man. They're gonna keep delivering, in my opinion, and like taking a bet on the asset in that ecosystem that has the least utility right now with a roadmap that's heavily focused on it seems like probably one of the safer bets for potential upside and the cheapest entry into the actual Yuga ecosystem.
Yeah, I like the dog for sure. I mean, I wish I bought the dogs when they were one ETH so bad. There was like that time, basically the mutants were like 3.25 ETH and the dogs were at one ETH for like a full month. And it's like, that was just so cheap. That doodles were also one ETH at that time. That was last fall. And, you know, hindsight's 2020, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I feel like a one ETH purchase at that time, it's just funny. It's not the same thing as it is now. Anyway, bottom line is I'm really interested in like buying NFTs when it just feels so bad. It doesn't even feel bad enough right now for me to like think that this is the bottom, you know, like this is 2.8 ETH. They had that announcement yesterday. The game looks pretty cool. I don't think that many people, the complaint is number one, that they just reskinned another game. They didn't build it from scratch, that it's Fortnite with an ape running around. And number two, that they've never built a game before. That's what you hear over and over and over again. They hired a studio.
Like, who gives a shit if they built a game? They hired someone to build a game. Awesome. Yeah. They have more experience than anyone else, like, and more cash.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, if this is going to just keep going down because the bear market's going to keep going down. And on our Twitter show today, Mo Money, also known as StayLiquid.eth, shout out to Mo Money, member of the Nifty community for quite a while now and occasional contributor on the Twitter show. He said that, like, if you look at it from the perspective of the Bitcoin cycles, which obviously I'm going to be, you know, happy to hear reference the Bitcoin halving cycles, said we have like, I think it was another couple hundred days until the quote unquote bottom, if you reference, you know, those cycles. And that's actually really easy stuff to pull up. You know, maybe we can get something prepared for the next show and we can take a look at that because we have plenty of time since it's over 100 days minimum for that. I think we're like, he said 600 days away from the next Bitcoin.
650, I think, is about what we are. And he said we got to get to halfway of that. So like 300 more days, son.
Yep. So less than 2 years until the halving and like 300 days until the quote unquote bottom, if you go off of that. And really, you probably can go off of that. I asked him about what he thought about the Bitcoin hash rate event of 2021, aka the Chinese mining exodus, and its impact on that. And he wasn't really too concerned about that external event. But I think that that's interesting. So you mentioned a target for Other Deed. What's your target?
Yeah, I want it under one. And that's like crazy. I know people think that's insane. I want Other Deed under one
Ethereum. But what if Ethereum is like, what if Ethereum is $1,100?
I think it goes under one. Like, I don't think it matters what the price is. That's the wildest part. Like, I really don't think it even matters what the price is. I just think that, like, you have to look at this from like NFTs in general and the fact that we're so excited about 10K supplies. Right now, this is trading about half of a dog, a little under half a dog with 10x the supply.
Yeah.
So like if dogs go sub five, there's zero chance in my mind that these don't trade one, if not under one. So like there's just massive supply, man. And that's the craziest part to me. I'm like, this makes no sense. And there's another 100K in August. So, and that's the only thing that's going to do is drive the floor ones further down. So like if we don't bounce like last August, like because there's no Kodos on these, there's no BAYC land, there's no mutant land. This is literally just a farthest land. It's like this is like, oh awesome, we're gonna stay over here in our ape land and just throw you the scraps. Like this is the literal bottom land that's just gonna dump on the market. And I'm like, how does this not get under one in that case?
Yeah, you know, we got to reach out to one of the Nifty seed round investors, Matty DCL Blogger, because he did all of his accumulation or a lot of it of Decentraland in 2018 and 2019. And then, you know, obviously that worked out incredibly well for him. I forget, you know, how cheap he was getting that stuff, but it was definitely cheap compared to what it eventually cost in 2021. And I'm assuming that he took profits on that considering he runs a fund. But yeah, I mean, that's absolutely something to ask someone like that about is like, when would you start accumulating this? Like I said, it doesn't feel bad enough yet. Like, there was a pump on this literally yesterday. You mentioned it was a short-lived pump. So they showed the game footage, and then you pulled up NFT Nerds, and you said that the pump disappeared like nothing you'd ever seen before, wild. Right?
And the only thing people were buying were CODAs. Like, it was massive sales from, like, 12 to 20, and every one of them had a CODA. Like, it was clear that people were only looking for CODAs because the announcement in that was that you can move the CODA off the land. So, like, it was like, oh, sweet. Okay, so now there's, like, utility. If I have a better land, why not grab a floor CODA just to throw on this, like, mutant or ape land? And we already knew that. So I was texting NFT Nick, and he was like, I just bought a CODA. And I responded, like, sell it. Get rid of that right now. And he was like, why? I'm like, there's no liquidity. Like, I'm literally watching this liquidity dry up. Because I want it, like, this is a massive brand. This is Yuga. If the floor one started moving, we probably would have seen a much higher upside. And they weren't. It was like only the animal ones, what are they called? Like artifacts, pets, animals. I forget whatever the creatures that are not CODAs that are on it.
Yeah.
And CODAs, because those are the removable assets. So I was like, okay, that's an interesting move. But when the volume vanished after like 5 minutes and sales went from like almost 50 to 100 sales to 5, I was like, oh, this is going to go very badly. Like anyone who bought here is about to get very badly burned. And we then saw the floor just crater to like 15. And volume once again was just gone. Like we went from a sale at 5 sales a minute to a sale every 5 minutes to a sale an hour to obviously there's more consistent sales, but it was just ugly and listings poured in. The market's just like, it's not a buyer's market. Like you should be selling pumps right now if you are holding assets, in my opinion, and waiting for stuff to go quiet so that you can buy in a little bit cheaper. Like projects aren't going to be able to keep that announcement pump like January or February, where like you saw somebody typing in a Discord and the floor would pump because they were anxiously waiting for whatever was about to be said.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing that I think about is I think about like, you know, for example, we're talking about a game when we talk about this one. And so if that game actually does get shipped, I understand it's going to take a while for it to come out and this, that, and the other thing. But if it actually gets shipped and, you know, and it has an audience at that point, that's kind of like an external event that doesn't, the cycle doesn't have to inform what the price is doing at that time, given the external event. This isn't just a asset like Bitcoin. It's a game, right? And I know it's not going to come out for a while. So who knows when it comes out? Who knows where we're at in the cycle? Maybe they time it up with the cycle perfectly so it's coming out in bull season and everybody's happy. But that's the way that I'm kind of thinking about it. You know, it is going to be so fascinating to see how this plays out because in 2017, there really weren't NFTs like that. I mean, there were, but they were so under the radar, right? CryptoPunks and CryptoKitties.
But think about it. There wasn't like a marketplace to sell those either. It was all OTC. It was like the CryptoPunks made their own marketplace to sell. CryptoKitties were largely over-the-counter sales. Like, it was a different time. Like, it was like there wasn't an OpenSea that you could just go on, throw up a listing, and have a stranger buy it. It was like you had to be active in Discords. So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, there's so much we don't know. The game, what were your thoughts on the game footage? I'm very curious.
So you have to keep in mind that I'm not a video game guy. Okay. So, like, that's the thing. You and me played Rocket League. You know, I have elite level Rocket League skills. I'm a tank at Rocket League. But I've never played Fortnite, and people talk about Fortnite a lot, and people were saying that the ape game looked like Fortnite, but with a monkey in it or something. My thoughts were, I was actually really impressed by the game, but maybe you can just easily impress me with video game stuff because I haven't been exposed. But the way the guy was running around, the way he got blasted up by the portal thing, the colors and the artwork, and when he was running in the water, it just felt pretty good to me. The economy around it and the mechanics, that's what's going to matter the most. And look, I remember playing like a game like Harvest Moon when I was a kid on Nintendo 64. And like you would plant plants and you would like, you know, get crops and you'd make money. And then I know a lot of people played Maple Story and RuneScape. And those are games where you would like mine assets and build up characters. And people would actually sell those like on eBay and sell in-game resources to people. So that's like an early example of NFTs without the proper blockchain ownership. I just can't wait to see this play out for real, like actually play out for real. And that game looked sick. But I don't know anything about video games. So maybe it's actually a hacky game if you're like a video game pro. I don't know.
Yeah, it's I mean, it just feels like it's like another reskin, I guess, which a lot of people were kind of upset about. I mean, it looked good though. Like, that's a thing. Like, this, even if it is a reskin, who knows? Looks kind of good. We'll see what happens. Oh, wow. These are pumping. Yeah. They're
Why
up
are these pumping?
To 0.74. I have no idea. I literally have no idea. This was one of those projects. I had five of them at 0.1 and sold all five at 0.2. Like,
you
that was a great trade.
Want to pull up nerds and let's take a look at alien friends right now. We got an NFT pump, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my God, there's life in the NFT market. You thought it was flatlining, but it is alive and well.
Damn, son.
Wow, where'd you find this pump, huh?
Let's take a look.
All right,
here.
We got the technician EZ Eats with his NFT nerds pulled up on the screen. Here we go. Alien friends, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
here we go.
Cruising right now. Five sales in the last minute. Four, but see, that's the other thing. Like, we're still seeing sales kind of move up. Only about 15 over the last 10 minutes. Like, that's not a massive pump. But this
it's
volume
a pump
is
these
wild.
Days, amigo.
Yeah. But even see, like, look how thin this hourly is, I guess. You know, like, this doesn't look great to me to be like, oh, I'm going to buy into this, you know? Oh, they just got verified, I guess, is what people are saying.
That's why they're pumping? That's the dumbest reason for anything to pump ever.
This is the same thing. Like, this is just going to burn people here on the 4 hour over 3 day. Yeah, these people are all going to get burned. Like, absolutely torched. Like, this was trading 0.2 yesterday. Like,
people are just trying to feel something.
Literally, like, that's all that they're trying to do is just have some exposure, I guess, at this point. Yeah, funks are still moving. This is probably a more interesting chart because of the Azuki nonsense going on. Like,
so funks,
30 minutes.
So if you buy funks right now, you're buying it because it's like a collectible that this guy made before he did Azuki, and it's kind of like interesting and it has a history and blah, blah, blah.
Basically, you're playing off hope that somehow this guy provides value. But the other thing is, like, that wall at one is about 30 sales deep. They are getting 62 sales a minute, but there's no shot this gets up over one. It's
Funks is getting 62 sales a minute?
10 minutes. So about six sales a minute right now.
That's like a lot in this market for sure.
A ton. But even this, like, the last sale was 3 minutes ago. So it looked like there was probably a bunch of active sweeps. Yeah, somebody got over 20 of them 3 minutes ago.
Wow.
And then no sales for 7 minutes. So in the last 10 minutes, it looks like there's just been two massive sweeps. And that's like the kind of stuff that these tools come in handy for, because you can actually take a look at that. Like, alien friends pumping, it's not great volume, like, at all. In this case, 22 sales over 15 minutes, 13 sales in five, two sales in a minute. It seems like this is not gonna sustain. We do have a volume breakout there that we can see. Even now, floor is, let's take a look. 0.85. So this has moved up.
Okay. How would it possibly sustain? How would that possibly happen? In 3 days,
it's
going to be down again.
Yeah. It was just trading under 0.5, 0.74. Lowest sale was sitting at a lovely 0.4. So it's 2x since the lows, which is impressive in this market. If somehow you caught that, and the people asking, this is NFT nerds, it's still like, this is going to go right back to 0.4. If your catalyst is getting a blue check mark to make you a buyer, that doesn't add any legitimacy. It just means that OpenSea has changed their verification rules, which if people looked at their email, would have seen was happening a week ago, because they said, we're updating verification. So it's like, you're going to see a bunch of projects that get blue checks in the next few days. I don't think this is a buy signal personally.
If you're buying this because of that blue check, then I don't relate to you at all. I just gotta say, and look, I don't want to be mean, but it just doesn't feel like I would not be buying this because of a blue check mark. Oh man, this is gonna be back down in 3 days.
Guay is sitting at 115 right now. Like, there's nothing like pouring gasoline on yourself and just lighting a match to see what it feels like, because that's exactly what buying right now is. Like, you're just chasing fire.
Goodness gracious. Well, we'll have to see if we can get the portal verified on OpenSea.
That's what we need to do.
Well, shit. I can't wait for the portal pump after we get verified. Hey, everyone, front run here. Here's some news. I'm going to work really hard to get verified, because apparently it's easier to get verified now. Front run this portal pump. Dude, I'm telling you, man, if we're going to be pumping because of verifications, your boy's going to go get it verified. You should front run it. Easy. Any closing thoughts on what's going on right now? Like, what are you thinking about?
No, I mean, my big thing, man, is like for everyone out there trying to chase a trade or like find a trade, just like take a step back, pause, think for a second, and take extra time to research, I guess you could say. Like right now, I'm not a buyer anywhere. If anything, I'm going short on stuff. So it's like until we start to see some kind of choppy activity on the underlying coins, I'm not a buyer. I would rather sit on my USDC, the safe stable coin, and relax a little bit. So if you haven't traded equities before or haven't traded crypto before, don't chase shorts and longs. You're going to burn your account. It's all part of the game. Yeah, and that's really all I got. Stay safe out there. Keep your bags protected and go down with the bags.
Allison just said Sam Bankman-Fried from our sponsor FTX. Sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or on the mobile app with the code THENIFTY. FTX has the cheapest fees for Ethereum and other cryptocurrencies and gasless transactions on NFTs. FTX, it's what's for dinner. SBF took a 7.5% stake in Robinhood. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, so I just saw that today too. I was really interested in that, to be honest, because it's like, that's a pretty big swing. So I'm curious what partnership FTX and Robinhood are going to have.
A crypto one. Robinhood.
Exactly.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I worked at Robinhood until February of this year. Let me just tell you, this is a good move. This is a good move. This is legit.
Yeah.
You know, like getting SBF on board, that's a crypto. What other play would it be? It's a crypto and NFT play 100%. 100%.
And that's the thing. If they can get liquidity from Robinhood into FTX's books, it benefits both of them. Because now, even if they split that fee, you're now exposing retail investors to a variety of more coins, which is just a huge game changer. Like, dude, people love to buy shit. Plain and simple. Like, you still have GameStop, AMC, and Dogecoin to a dollar believers that are going to go down with that ship. As soon as they get more exposure to some of these other crazy coins that, like, do 1,000% in a day, this is such a no-brainer for FTX and Robinhood. They're just going to make a killing off of fees and liquidations. Like, it sounds so rude to say, but like, they're going to make a killing off of just taking advantage of people who aren't sure what they're buying.
It's Perry asked, what did I do at Robinhood? I was a male model. I was a male model at Robinhood. They needed guys that look like me to model for them. And so they just gave me a corporate job modeling. It was pretty cool.
Pretty nice. Sounds like a good gig.
Anyway, sign up for FTX. They just made a power move. Holy shit. 7.5% in, or is it just Sam Bankman-Fried? I mean, does it matter? It doesn't matter. I'm running with this. It doesn't matter. SBF is FTX, you know.
The first article says FTX's Sam Bankman-Fried takes a 7.5%.
So it's 7.6 stake. It's Sam Bankman-Fried himself. That's
personally Sam.
Holy shit. I mean, you know that there's going to be a deal or something between
He's going to advise them on what to do. Like, this is, it's clear there's going to be ties for sure with FTX.
Come on. Gotta be. All right. And make sure you follow Easy at Easy Eats Bodega on Twitter and sign up for FTX for real. We're giving away two more NFTs through FTX soon. Sign up for it. See you guys later.